Now let's continue on in Isaiah 24. Let's see the prophecy here. Because, brethren, the return of Jesus Christ is going to be an absolutely fantastic thing, greater than anything we can imagine. Even the prophecies here that describe it cannot give us the total visualization of what it's going to be. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants. That's the way it's going to be. And as it is with the people, so shall it be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with a handmaid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. Because that's when they're going to throw their gold and silver into the streets. Because they will know there is no money, no kind of money, that can bring them safety or get them out of this mess. Verse 3. Listen to these words. The earth shall be completely laid waste and utterly stripped. You see, God is going to get rid of every vestige of this world's satanic, Babylonian, Sodomite civilization. It is going to be destroyed. See, because God is not going to build on the foundation of men. He's going to bring Christ, who is the rock, the saints who are the kings and priests, to reign with him. And they will establish the right civilization, the kingdom of God. Verse 4. The earth mourns and languishes. The world withers and languishes. The proud people of the earth wither. The earth is defiled under its people because they have transgressed the laws of God. They have changed the ordinances, the holy days of God, and have broken the everlasting covenant. That's amazing. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the people of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Now, we don't know how many people are going to be left, but compared to the population of the world, it's going to be few. Now, let's come over here to Haggai, the second chapter. Let's see how this was promised back here, the book of Haggai. So you have the book of Zechariah going backwards, then Haggai, and then you come to Zephaniah. Here's the book of Haggai. Let's see what it says in chapter 2. Haggai 2, and let's pick it up here in verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, it is yet a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations, who is Christ, shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts, that is, the temple that he will build when he returns. And by the way, that's not the temple of Ezekiel 40 forward. You read that very carefully. And those descriptions and measurements are from the temple in Jerusalem before it was destroyed in 586 BC. Now, since we're right here with Haggai, let's come back to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1. Chapter 1. And let's see what God's judgment is going to be and how severe it's going to be. This is why, when we take over the kingdom of God, brethren, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of lives to repair those who survive through it. Notice what God says here. Think about this in relationship to the other scriptures we have already read up to this point. I will utterly consume all things from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Going to change the whole thing. He's going to make it right. Going to bring it back, the restitution of all things, to what it should be. Verse 3, Zephaniah 1. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and all the people of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the idolatrous priest with the priest. Isn't that something? And those worshiping the host of heavens upon the housetops, and those worship swearing to the Lord and also swearing by Milcom, and those who have turned away from the Lord and who have not sought the Lord nor asked of him. Boy, that's going to be a time, isn't it? Now notice, be silent before the face of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has appointed his sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. That's us. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the rulers and the king's children, and all who are clothed with strange garments. And in that day, I will punish all those who leap over the threshold and who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. Boy. This is something. Let's see what this day is going to be like. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and comes swiftly. The sound of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry bitterly there. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of ram's horns and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. This is an all-out thing that's going to happen. Now, after this, we're going back to the book of Revelation, and we're going to see how that is laid out and how the trumpets are blown, because this Feast of Trumpets pictures that last year leading from trumpets to trumpets. I will bring distress upon men so that they shall walk as blind because they've sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole earth shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even an end, yea, an end, a terrible end of all of those who dwell upon the earth. Now that may be even blend into the ending of the last great day with the burning of the wicked, destruction of them, the lake of fire. Now let's come back to the book of Revelation. Let's see how these things are going to unfold. Because here in the book of Revelation, we have a description of the sequence of the seven trumpets. And that's what this day pictures. The seven trumpets that will be blown from trumpets to trumpets in the very last year. Now remember, after the heavens and earth have been shaken, there's a period of about four and a half months, from Pentecost until trumpets. And the world, after the earth has been shaken, is going to need that time to recoup from everything that has shaken the earth. Now they'll be able to recoup, gather themselves together, and then they'll continue on with their wars. But now, here in the last year, from trumpets to trumpets, begins in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. So if you'll turn there, please. Now we see the things change from what we saw with the opening of the seals. Now instead of men against men in their wars and battles, and finally their execution of the saints in martyrdom, because they want to get everyone who will not fit into the system. And when the saints have been martyred, and the only ones alive in the flesh that are saints are the ones in the place of safety, which will be few indeed. Then there's going to be the sealing of the 144,000 from the children of Israel and a great innumerable multitude, which will take place on the next to the last Pentecost. Then from Pentecost until trumpets, you have that space of time of about 4.5 months. Then everything changes at that point. When the seventh seal is opened, everything changes. Verse 1, Revelation 8. And when he, that is Christ, because he's the one who opens the seals, opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Then I saw seven angels who stand before God with seven trumpets given to them. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and much incense was given to him so that he might offer it with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that was before the throne. Now, the saints are those who have been received the Holy Spirit. All of those who have been martyred are dead. All of those who are in a place of safety are the few. But before the beginning of the trumpet plagues, there's the sealing of the 144,000 and great innumerable multitude, and they are also saints at that time, which shows they're going to be praying, thanking God, asking for God's intervention. Will this be like it was with the children of Israel in Egypt when God severed the plagues from coming upon the children of Israel? God will protect the 144,000, the great innumerable multitude, their prayers going up to God. See, God's throne is active. Now then, here comes a tremendous event that is going to take place, and we're going to see that the first four trumpet plagues come in rapid succession, just exactly like the first four seals. So let's pick it up here in verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, you go through the book of Revelation, and you go through the prophecies that explain about it, there are going to be a lot of earthquakes. There are going to be a lot of things that take place. Now notice, then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound their trumpets. And this is the fulfilling of the fantastic meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. It is beginning. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was cast upon the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Awesome events to take place. God is going to make sure that men understand this is from God. But you see, because they won't repent, they think it's an alien invasion. Well, the angels are aliens to them, and Christ is an alien to them, and all the resurrected saints will be aliens to them as well. Verse 8, then the second angel sounded his trumpet, and there was cast into the sea as it were a great mountain burning with fire. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Tremendous destruction, see, under Satan the devil in his wrath and in his fury against God, and men dedicated to evil, men trying to protect their greatest work, this great government of man on earth, a one world system that we have finally gotten, and now these aliens are coming to try and take it from us. So that was something. And a third angel sounded his trumpet, and there fell out of heaven a great star like a burning lamp, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of waters. Now the name of the star was Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from drinking the waters because they were made bitter. Poisonous water. Then the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was smitten, third of the moon, third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third part of the day did not shine, likewise a third part of the night. Everything is upside down. This is why no man knows the day or the hour, even though we understand that they're pictured by the holy days, and in this case, by the Feast of Trumpets. When this begins at the next to the last Feast of Trumpets, when will the next one be? And there's every indication to show that this last year is also what is called an intercalated or leap year, making it 13 months long. Now let's go on. If you think that's bad, now here's another warning. Verse 13, and I looked and heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who are dwelling on the earth because of the voice of the remaining trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound their trumpets. So it's going to come. Increasing destruction, increasing slaughter, increasing war. So the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and there was given to him the key of the bottomless abyss. That's the prison where all the demons are. And he opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up smoke from the pit, like the smoke of a great fire. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then locusts came up onto the earth from the smoke. Demons coming out now to assist men in their wars against other men. Here is the place where the king of the north hears of tidings from the north and the east. And he goes away to make waste and go against them. Yes. And they had power like scorpions of the earth, and was said to them that they should not damage the green grass, because by the time these other things took place, all the grass that was burned up, what happens when it burns up and then water is given to it? It grows back. So there's green grass growing back. So God says this time, don't damage the grass or any green thing or any tree. But only the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. And who are the ones that have the seal of God in their foreheads? The 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude, and those who are in the place of safety. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, that is, with this scorpion plague, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days men shall seek death, but will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for war, and on their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions. And they had all this futuristic weaponry and protection and armor. They had breastplates like iron breastplates. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And they had tails like scorpions and stingers, and it was given them to have power to injure men with their tails for 5 months. And they had over them a king, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but he has a name in Greek that is called Apollyon. That's none other than Satan the devil. The first woe is past. Now think about all those scriptures we read in the Old Testament leading up to this time. And what's going to happen to human beings? How many dead there are going to be? The blood just flowing like rivers. Well, the kings of the east, the armies of 200 million, they will be strong all the way back to the Far East. You can't get 200 men in one place at one time. Now, maybe even some of those armies will end up being those that are destroyed in Ezekiel 38 and 39 after the kingdom of God has been set up on earth. But notice what this is. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates for this purpose." Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were loosed that they might kill a third of men. So the slaughter is going to be awesome indeed. And men are going to learn by this. You never defy God and get away with it. You can never fight against God. And how dare you ever again to think about changing his laws or his commandments or his Sabbath or his holy days. That's why Christ and the saints are going to set up the kingdom of God. Not going to leave it to men. No, to Christ and the saints. So it describes them, numbers them. Verse 16, "And the numbers of the armies of the horsemen was 200,000, 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And so I saw the horses in vision, and those sitting on them who had fiery breastplates." Then it describes what they do. Great awesome power of fire shooting out of their heads and out of their tails. Verse 18, by these three, a third of men were killed by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone that they shoot out of their mouths. And the power is in their mouths, for their tails are like serpents, and have heads, and with them they inflict wounds. Now notice the attitude of men. They are so dedicated to fighting against this alien invasion that they don't even consider that it's God. Verse 20, "But the rest of the men who were not killed by the plague still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which do not have the power to see nor to hear nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders nor their sorceries nor of their fornications nor of their thievery." These are awesome and terrible times. That's why the Feast of Trumpets is to remind us and teach us what God is going to do. And we can learn some great lessons from God in this. Yes, indeed. Then we have the seven thunders. Now, we're not going to go through what it says there in chapter 10, except to say this. John was told, do not write what the seven thunders did. Now then, very simple to understand. No one knows what the seven thunders are, because it wasn't written down. Now we come to chapter 11, and we want to pick it up with verse 15, and this occurs on the last Pentecost, the resurrection of the saints from the dead. Now, out of seven trumpets, which one is the last one? Seventh trumpet, correct? When are the dead raised? At the last trump. So let's read it. Does this describe a resurrection of the saints. Yes, it does. And they will be raised, as we saw, on the day of Pentecost and on this great sea of glass, right over Jerusalem and the whole area of Palestine. Let's see what it says. Verse 14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes immediately. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, now we're hearing from the voices in heaven, the angels, the 24 elders, proclaiming the kingdom of God. Here's what they said. Now think of this coming down to the earth. It's going to be heard in all the earth. This isn't going to be some little sound, a little tinky-tinky, little teeny-weeny-weeny thing, bell going off, you know. Okay? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. And does that not fulfill Isaiah 9? Where it says, and of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Yes, indeed. And the 24 elders who sit before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, for you have taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. For the nations were angry, summarizing all that has gone on. And your wrath has come, and the time of the dead to be judged. That's us. And to give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to all those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Now, that's the first resurrection. And we know that in Matthew 24 and in Luke 13, it says the angels are going to take us up to meet Christ in the air. And guess what's going to be in the air in the clouds, the sea of glass. And there we're going to meet him. And there we're going to meet all the other saints. There everything that we described on Pentecost is going to take place. And then after that takes place, then the seven last plagues are poured out. So let's read them. See, and as we read them, let's ask the question. It's an awesome power that's necessary to destroy the evil of men and Satan and demons. And that at this point they become so desperate that they finally have their final suicide battle to fight against the alien invasion, the battle of Armageddon. So chapter 16, seven last plagues are poured out. Now we know that they're all gathered to Armageddon toward the end of these plagues. So let's read it here. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple say to the seven angels who received the seven last plagues in their vials, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God onto the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his vial onto the earth, and an evil and grievous sore fell upon men who had the mark of the beast and upon those who were worshiping his image. And the second angel went out and poured out his vial into the sea. And it became blood, like the blood of dead men. And every living soul in the sea died. See, God is going to have to do a complete repair of the whole earth to bring it to the restitution of what it was when he created it. And the third angel poured out his vials upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard an angel, the angel of the waters, say, you are righteous, O Lord. Notice how the angels of God view these things from a human perspective, not knowing God, not knowing his plan, not understanding about the second resurrection. Men don't like to see all of this blood, guts, and gore, and death. But notice how the angels view it. So the angel of the waters said, "You are righteous, O Lord, who are and who was, even the Holy One, in that you have executed this judgment. For they have poured out the blood of the saints and of prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." This is the blood avenging by Jesus Christ himself of all of the blood that evil men have shed in executing the prophets and the saints. And I heard another voice from the altar say, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial in the sun, and power was given to it to scorch men with fire. So there's going to be a big flash, and great heat is going to come from the sun. Now, we don't know how long it's going to last, but notice what it is. Scorched men with great heat, and they blaspheme the name of God. They don't yet die with it. They're burned with it. Some may die of it, but notice what they say. They blaspheme God, who has authority over these plagues, and they did not repent to give him glory. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for some people to repent? I tell you, this is amazing. Verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed with their tongues because of the pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. Yet they did not repent of their works. Now then there's a little reprieve again. And they think, yes, oh, we've got a chance to save this. We've got a chance to rescue this. Oh, yes. Then verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial into the river Euphrates, and the waters were dried up so that the way of the kings of the rising of the sun might be prepared. So then the rest of the armies of the 200 million, not all of them, some of them will carry over into the millennium, and they will be destroyed. Ezekiel 38 and 39. But here they come again. Now this time, they have to be convinced. There has to be supernatural signs for them to want to come up and start fighting after all that they have suffered here. And the sixth angel poured out his vial. We read that. Verse 3. Then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For these are spirits of demons working miracles, going forth to the kings of the earth, even of the whole world. See, just like the priests of Pharaoh's court had power to do miracles, now these demons come out and do miracles and convince the rest of the world, we've got a chance to win. Now, let's all get together and do this. And in their own delusion, God is going to trap them in their own schemes, even of the whole world, to gather them together to the battle of the great day of the Almighty God. Behold, I come as a thief. So here's a warning. Warning to the Laodiceans, because you will understand all of these things at the end time. So we need to be warned. Blessed is the one who is watching and keeping his garments, so that he may not walk naked and they may not see his shame. Now that was just an interjection right there as a warning. And God does that many times. You read along and then he will interrupt the flow of things to give a warning, to help us to come to our senses so that we don't do like these evil men here. And they rely upon their own ways and their own schemes. Now, just like God lured Pharaoh and his armies to come after the children of Israel and to go into the Red Sea. So he uses the demons to bring them all to this battle. But it's God who was doing it. And he gathered them together to the place that in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. Now they're all there. They're ready for this battle. They're looking up at the sea of glass. They understand what has happened. Now they have marshaled the best of all the rest of the weapons that they have to fight against Christ and to fight against his return to save the world. Only they are going to be defeated. Then the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is finished." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were on the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. It's going to level everything completely. The earth is now going to be in utter ruin. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon, Babylon the Great, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island disappeared. No mountains were found. A great hail, each stone, the weight of a talent, which is about 180 pounds, fell from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague, for the plague was exceeding great. Now, just before the pouring out of the seven last plagues, there's something else that takes place on the Sea of Glass. And this is the final thing that is going to take place before Christ and all the saints come back to the earth. And that is the marriage of the Lamb and his bride, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're rejoicing. We have seen the judgments. We have seen the things that have taken place. We're there with God, all the resurrected saints. Verse 1, "And after these things I heard the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! It's going to be a celebration, brethren. The salvation and the glory and the honor and the power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." The blood vengeance of God. Remember, God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." Well, here is where he has completed it. "Then they said a second time, Hallelujah! And her smoke shall ascend upward to the ages of eternity." The smoke from all of this destruction will come out of the atmosphere of the earth and into space, into the universe, and will travel in space forever. Verse 4, "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came forth from the throne saying, Praise our God, all his servants," and are all gathered around the throne of God, "and all who fear him, both small and great. And I heard a voice like the sound of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty has reigned." This is the proclamation of the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth, to rescue man, to repair the earth, to restore it to what it should be. And great, tremendous thing this is going to be. Verse 7, Let us be glad and shout with joy, and let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Yes. And it was granted to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now notice, brethren, how real this is. Remember this. If God has said it, it is as good as done. Verse 9. And he said to me, write. That's why we have the book of Revelation written down. There would be no way to understand the events at the end times without the book of Revelation, and then that interprets the rest of the prophecies of the Bible. And all those prophecies in the Old Testament referring to the end time must fit into the events of the things of the book of Revelation. So he said, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then he fell down to worship him, and he said, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant. You worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then he saw a tremendous thing happen. Heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And on this one is Christ. And he who sat on it is called faithful in truth, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes were like the flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knows except himself. And he was clothed with a garment dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. That we know, the other name we don't. And the armies in heaven were following him on white horses. That'll be all of us. Now we're going to come down with Christ. We're going to know what to do. We're going to know where to go. We're going to understand how to proceed. We're going to be given the power and understanding to help the human beings that live through all of this, because some of them are going to live through it. And we will have the power to heal them, to restore them, to help especially heal their minds and their emotions. Of all the things that they went through, seeing all these things that will have occurred on the earth. All right. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. His word. The word of God is like a sword, and it cuts asunder. And in this case, he's going to order the destruction of those armies, like it says there in Zechariah 14, and their flesh is just going to fall right off their bones, and all their weapons will drop to the ground, and the whole gathering of these armies to fight against Christ is going to become one big, giant, almost unbelievable bloodbath of blood and guts and flesh and bones. And he had on his thigh, name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God. God is going to have his cleanup party, all the birds. So that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of chief captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, the flesh of all, free and bond, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him who sits on the horse and with his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, who worked miracles in his presence, by which he had deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed by the sword of him who sits on the horse, even the sword that goes out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So this is what the Day of Trumpets pictures. This is a vital day in the holy days of God. And this is the transition day, ending the rule of man. And now the next thing to do is to end the rule of Satan the devil. And we will cover that on the next holy day, the Day of Atonement. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.